comes from the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, a source for what works in education. Learn more at edutopia.org.
This is WCVE Public Radio. Brian Ford joins us now from RBC Wealth Management for the Monday morning analysis of business and financial news. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Wayne. Hope your Thanksgiving went well.
Yeah, and yours too, I hope.
It did.
Well, it was a pretty good week on Wall Street, although it was a shortened week, of course, because of the holiday. And there were some other good signs.
Yeah, I would say that's true, Wayne. The stock market itself had a pretty robust week, up about 2.5%. As you say, it was a short week, really only about three full days in there. Thursday was a holiday, and Friday the markets open half days, but a lot of people take off at least half, if not a full day. We're back to double-digit gains for the year, though many investors really may not feel it. This also happens to be a good cycle for stocks. That November through April period is kind of one of the better period for stock performances right now. The news last week surrounding the fiscal cliff was actually pretty good. The highlight was Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke kind of put the spotlight on Congress, saying that the Fed cannot help here. Nothing like a little shame to make Congress move and do something. But basically, the news these days about fiscal cliff is full of politicians, you know, testing the waters, talking about compromise and deals, which is a pretty rare thing out of Washington these days. The other news, if you will, out of Europe, they continue to talk about more aid for Greece and what form that will take. Also, Egypt's stock market took a sharp dive this weekend after their president tried to assume kind of broad new powers. That I have to say, Wayne, that instability bears watching over there. And you're right, this week we are expected to get the third quarter 2012 GDP, the gross domestic product results, which may be up more than the 2% kind of average that we've been expecting. It may be up higher than normal, and we're also going to get what are called durable goods orders this week as well.
Well, we just heard that record numbers of shoppers turned out over the weekend. How's that going to affect the rest of the year for the retail merchant sector?
Well, that's a good question. Let's do a deeper dive on this one so far on holiday shopping. No doubt you've heard on the national news that retail spending was up nicely for the four-day weekend, a gain of almost 12% over last year. It appears those deals on Thanksgiving Day worked to get people out of the house. Further good news is that foot traffic across the country was solidly up. There was not just one hot area or region that was good. It was pretty well balanced, which was good. The total amount spent by shoppers on Black Friday alone was an amazing $11 billion, and the total for the 4 days was expected to be about $59 billion. Wayne, that still blows me away, especially when you have so many people still out of work. We are a nation of shoppers, I guess. The other stat that is truly incredible is that the National Retail Federation said that the average spent by shoppers this weekend was, wait for this, $423. That's a lot, I think. The other big number to report is that online sales on Friday were over $1 billion for the first time ever on that day. That's up 25% over last year. And retailers expect today, Cyber Monday, to cross $1 billion as well. The important thing to watch now is how this pace holds up for the next 4 weeks or so. Remember, there's this extra week between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year. And while consumer confidence is at its highest level in 5 years, it'll be interesting to watch how responsive consumers are to the economic news out of Washington about the fiscal cliff and taxes for 2013.
It has not been a good year for IPOs. Now, tell me what this means for jobs, because a lot of companies, when they're going the IPO route, they're the ones that are creating new jobs usually.
That's true. The IPO market, of course, stands for initial public offering market. These are stocks that go public for the first time. And this is an area that for many years has gotten analysts and investors excited about new opportunities and the ability to get in early on a hot concept. Well, the news has not been good for IPOs in 2012. While the total dollars raised is higher than it has been in 5 years, that's deceiving because Facebook's calamitous IPO in May accounted for a third of all the deal activity this year. Basically, the backlog of deals is very thin, and over 40% of companies who filed to bring their stock public this year have canceled. This is a really big deal, as you say, because growing companies tend to have the most explosive, fast job growth in their companies, and the multiplier effect of these companies to other industries and consultants and vendors has been lacking. Some analysts think a weak IPO market is a harbinger of negative things to come because it shows a lack of risk-taking by business owners. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, some analysts see a bright side. Fewer IPOs means only the strongest companies come public, and there's much less froth thrust upon the investing public. Either way, Wayne, for now, the IPO market is quiet and on the back burner.
Mm-hmm. We have about a minute to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is, then, in spite of those positive signs, there is some gloom also on the horizon, according to some prognosticators.
Yeah, we are seeing the forecast rolling in now for 2013, and largely it's a guessing game based on assumptions. But the news generally is that the outlooks are coming in fairly positive. Analysts at several different places cite an improving housing market is key to a continued recovery. We just heard again about existing and new home sales being up last week. The U.S. also compares favorably to Europe and Japan. The oft-repeated phrase now is the U.S. is considered the cleanest shirt in the dirty laundry. We expect to hear a third-quarter GDP this week up more than expected, but not so fast. Morgan Stanley has a much darker view of what 2013 might bring. They assume that the fiscal cliff may impact us much more significantly, and a chance of a significant recession is 50-50, if not more likely. Morgan Stanley calls it the twilight zone of sluggish growth, and they believe it's pretty dicey for investors to pin their hopes on government action and central bank action. Basically, Morgan Stanley and others believe that even if we get a mini deal or a kick the can deal on fiscal cliff prior to January 1st, growth is still going to be pretty slow next year.
All right. Our thanks to Brian Ford at RBC Wealth Management, who joins us each Monday morning at this time to analyze the business news. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Wayne.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Steve.